Blog Talk Radio.
Lift the reverse and sing to open heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing right high as a listening sky. Let us resound loud as a rolling sea. I just bought 6 new bottles. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of our new day began. Let us march on till victory is won. Stony the road we tread, bitter the shining rod, felt in the dirt when hope on board had died. Yet with a steady beat, have not our weary feet come to the place for which our Father sighed. We have come over a way that with tears have been watered. We have come treading our path through the blood of the slaughtered. Out from the gloomy past, till now we stand at last, where the light gleams of our bright star is cast. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, Thou who have brought us thus far on the way, let us into the light, keep us forever. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, Thou who has brought us from the way, Thou who has by Thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray, lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we met thee, lest our hearts, drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee. Out from the gloomy past, till now we stand at last, where the light gleam of our bright star is cast. Amen. I want to say good evening to you. This is Pastor Mike Peavy of the Gold Baptist Church of Christ, coming to you Sunday evening. Just a little bit later than normal, where it's about 6:30 versus 6 o'clock, and we're just so glad to be with you today. God is an awesome God, and beside him there is no other. Good to see you, Brother James Gant. Good to see you, Sister Lopez. Praise God for you and others that are coming on at this time. If you want to call in on Blog Talk Radio, call in on our radio show. That is at 619-924-0767. We are broadcasting live even right this very moment in Canada and Norway and live with the continental United States. Again, you can call in at 619-924-0767. And at the completion of this message, we will take your prayer requests and any comments that you may have at said time. So glad that God is an awesome God. He has blessed us to even see this day. And we have just had a wonderful month. We're in the midst of March Madness. That is the mantra for the Far West theme that we were able to be a part of this year. We're so glad for that. But just March Madness in general for basketball, et cetera. But we are in a madness in this world of just difficulty, sin-cursed situations, wickedness that runs through. And so we have to have madness about who our God is. Therefore, our passion that shows through represents the God that we serve. Do you recognize the fact that we serve a God that sits high and looks low, thank you, dear, and deals with all the panoramic issues simultaneously at any spare moment of time? We serve a God that can handle your problem, my problem, problems in China, problems in Asia, problems in Europe, problems in Africa, and elsewhere, and still be the God of this universe. We serve a God that has set high and has done some great things, and he sends miracles even today. He has miracles that have that push us to understand who he is. Oh, preacher, there you go talking about miracles again. What kind of miracles does God create? Anytime life is brought into this world, a miracle has taken place. When a man and a woman come together in intimacy, hopefully in holy matrimony, and God does something in that connection where he forms a lifeline. Amen, somebody. And in the midst of that intimacy, in the midst of that lifeline, over a period of 9 months, the woman who is the incubator goes through a process of all kinds of situations, emotional roller coasters, body changes, and et cetera. But at the completion of 9 months or so many weeks towards that time, when that process comes to pass, then all of a sudden you have a human life that comes out, the umbilical cord is cut, and you actually can hear them speaking or whining or crying, making noise, audibles. That's miracles that God still does even on this day. I find it just awesome the fact that even right now, if you go out and take a look at the trees, over the course of the last week or so, you'll start to see, even when the bark is dark or brown, you'll see a green sap that we're running down through it. And all of a sudden, we're going to start to see some budding take place. That means that the holes and the ends are going to pop off, and all of a sudden, you're going to find life again. The sap that came up into the extremities of the trees and of the plant life, and now all of a sudden you're going to see spring come in, you're going to see flowers form, and then you're going to see the fruit of whatever it is that it was created to be. That's God doing something that you can't do. Anytime there is healing, and God uses doctors and nurses for healing, amen, somebody, I just experienced that myself. But guess what? God can bypass doctors and nurses and do healing himself. He can utilize whoever he wants. He can do whatever he chooses because he's sovereign. But he don't need nobody's help to get done what he has to get done. You ever heard a person say, man, I have cancer? It's strongly ill, but all of a sudden they go back for a checkup after so long and everything can't even be detected. Now they say they're in remission. Praise God, somebody. That's the Lord working on their behalf. That's the Lord doing something in the cell structure. So we don't understand the breakup of the cell structure. And many times we do things that break down our cells so that we start to decompose while we're still alive. You go down to the field museum, you see there was an exhibit of mummies. And I always joke with some of the customers I have when I pick them up. I ask them, I said, are the mummies still there? They're not moving around. And they laugh because they say, no, they're still in their rightful place. Many times we are nothing more than walking mummies, walking zombies, walking dead. Right, because we're not in our rightful place spiritually. And so it's such a blessing to understand that we serve a God that in spite of how much we mess up, in spite of how much we don't recognize, in spite of what we don't always give him credit for, we have a God that through repentance and confession has reached out to us, has taken the step, has initiated, and has taken care of our sin problem. And we should run to him while we still have warm blood in our veins. I want to caution you that if you don't believe Catholic doctrine that talks about reincarnation, as if you have another chance, you leave here as a human being and you may come back as a butterfly. No, I don't believe in that. I believe the Bible says, from dust we have come, and from dust we shall return. Once God removes the spirit from the body, when you breathe your last breath, and you don't know when that is, that's why you need to run to God now. When you take your last breath, a breath that belongs to God, that he has loaned to you, spirit comes from the word pneuma, P-N-E, MNA, pneuma, which is where we get our scientific word pneumonia from. And you know, if you get pneumonia, you have problems breathing. Well, if God takes breath from your body, then you also are dead. So we just want to understand today that we serve a God that hears our cry. Whatever you're going through, don't leave God out. Whatever your hurt and pain is, take it to the Lord. Give him the first chance to hear. Not after you've told 30, 40 people what's going on, now you want God to fix your jam after you done messed up. No. Don't create a situation that may not be what it is. No. Bear on bended knee. Father, forgive me. Help me. Create in me a new heart. That's what David said. And you will understand some great things that God has done, will do, and will continue to do. He gives us new compassion. Every day. New blessings every day. Well, you know, when you receive grace, which is unmerited faith, and then when you receive mercy, when you deserve judgment, but God gives you clemency and gives you another chance. Remember in Matthew 5, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. God is the first one that was merciful to mankind. He is the ultimate mercy. And has given us another chance to get it right. What about today? What about this very hour? Thinking about who God is. Starting to quantify mentally who God is. And preparing yourself for a pathway of steps that with God is given for mankind to become family And we're all God's children by generation. I'm not talking generation. I'm talking regeneration. God wants to regenerate you. He wants to recreate you again, make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. See, you are a creature out of Christ, but he wants to make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. How about that today? Oh, I'm just excited about what God has done in my life. And every waking moment, as I think about just these last 4 months, I can't help but shout. Because God is better than good. Chicken is good. God is great. Amen, somebody. So as you tune in today, if you would share this video, I appreciate it. And we're going to be in Psalms chapter 5 today. Excuse me. Psalms chapter 5. And I want you to really, want us to really take a look at just some nuggets that God has for us. Do you need God to lead you? Do you need God to protect you? Do you need God to deal with the calamities and the enemies that you can't handle? Because emotionally, physically, if you hadn't handled what you've tried to do most of your life, it's not something that would be pleasing to God. So let's get trouble out of our way. And let's put God, his son Jesus, and the covering of blood in our path. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and to work with us through our daily walk. We're going to sing two more songs. Then we're going to have our invocation. If you have a prayer request, you can type it in. If you have call in with it, 619-924-0767, and we will take it verbally at said time. Amen. And then we will prepare ourselves for communion. Glory to his name. There's any name that needs to be glorified, lifted up, praised, and magnified. It's the name of Jesus. Amen, somebody. Sing with me if you can. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where from cleansing from sin I cried, there to my life was the blood applied. I'm singing glory to his name. Keep singing glory to his name, precious name. Glory to his name, precious name. There to my heart was the blood applied. I'm singing glory to his name. Now I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me, and I'm singing glory to his name. Keep singing glory to his name, precious name. I'm singing glory to his name, precious name. There to my heart was the blood applied. I'm singing glory to his name. Now, oh, precious precious blood can let save from sin. I'm so bad, I haven't taken. But Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. I'm singing glory to His name. We keep singing glory to His name, precious name. I'm singing glory to His name, precious name. All of it to my life. Words of love of light. I'm singing glory to His name. Now come to the fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at thy Savior's feet. Plunge into birth and be made complete. I'm singing glory to His name. Let's keep singing glory to His name, precious name. Glory to His name, precious name. Bear to my heart words of love of light. I'm singing glory to His name. I keep singing glory to His name, precious name. I'm singing glory to His name, precious name. All to my heart was the blood of pride. I'm singing glory to His name. Amen. His name needs to be glorified, magnified, and quantified throughout this earth. When the Savior calls, I will be somewhere listening for my name. At the completion of this, we will prepare for our invocation, our prayer. Sing with me. When the Savior calls, I will answer. When He calls for me, I will hear Him. And when the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Excuse me. Now, if my heart is right when He calls me, if my heart is right, I will hear Him. If my heart is right when He calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Now, if my robe is white when He calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear Him. Now, if my robe is white when He calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere. Listening, I'll be somewhere. Listening for my name. Or I'll be somewhere. Listening, I'll be somewhere. Listening, I'll be somewhere. Listening for my name. Or I'll be somewhere. Listening, I'll be somewhere. Listening, I'll be somewhere. Listening for my name. Or I'll be somewhere. Listening, I'll be somewhere. Listening, I'll be somewhere. Listening for my name. Amen. It's prayer time. Let us go to God in prayer. Bow with me at this time. God, I ask you, Father, in the sweet name of Jesus. Father, it's you, we give honor and praise today, thanking you the very best we know how. Thanking you for even the weather that we deal with, Father. Thanking you for the changing seasons that we go through, Father. They are no more than an example of our emotional structure as it goes back and forth on mood swings and having to adjust to situations accordingly. If it's 40 below, we make that adjustment. If it's 72, we make that adjustment. If it's 105, we make that adjustment. Well, why is it when we deal with one another, we can't make any adjustments? We have been prone, we have been made wonderfully great to be able to make discerning decisions and be able to calculate things that will help us to make better judgments. But so many times do we miss the mark. And Father, the blessing is that we serve a God who sits high and looks low. We want to take this moment and thank Jesus for a substitutionary death, a death where he left heaven's best, the pinnacles of heaven, came down into this sin-cursed, wicked world, this ghetto world, to take on the sin problem of man and cover my sins and your sins, past, present, and future. And if we can't stop just to say thank you, then we don't deserve the breath that you've given us in our body. So, Father, we just want to prostrate ourselves today, thanking you the best we know how, hoping that we are living a life that is pleasing and acceptable to thee. And the more we learn about God, the more that we shave off some of the world in our lives and start to walk in a manner that's worthy of your calling. We just want to make you smile. Song says, God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Many times we forget that freedom comes with a cost. Oh, yes, someone shed blood so that you could be free. So there's responsibility. There's accountability. Someone's reputation is on the line. You can't just walk so willy-nilly. Someone is to be accountable. And I'm so thankful, Father, that you have made us your children, that you have protected us, that you have provided for us, that you are the best security system that we will ever know, and that you are a specialist in specializing on issues. Oh, Father, thank you for being a great counselor. Oh, Father, thank you for being the great doctor, the great physician. Oh, Father, thank you for being our lawyer in a courtroom. And we can just go on and on, Father, because we need you every step of the way. We're going to pray for those that are sick and afflicted, those that have been considered or have lost their own ability to stand, that they view themselves as second-class citizens, to understand that with you, we all are just family. And so we're just so thankful. Praying for my wife. This is anniversary week. Father, just so thankful for my wife. And after it's been on the Illinois books, 13 years, 2006, and on this Saturday, the 6th, it will be full 13 years, starting our 14th year. Father, time is not really on anyone, and we're just so thankful. Praying that we will be able to celebrate just in a very minute way what you have done in our lives. I just want to say thank you and want to appreciate one another accordingly. And then we go forward, Father, as we're learning and continue to grow, that we will be a force, a marriage couple that will be a force to be reckoned with, because we have you at the helm, because you are the umbrella of our lives. Father, we're just so thankful. Thankful for our families. Thankful for my mother. Thankful for my daughters, Juanita and Nicole. Thankful for sisters and brothers and cousins. And thankful for Mom Linda. Thankful for Brother and Sister Lugo, spiritual leaders. Father, I'm just so thankful. But I ask you, Father, even on this day, in spite of it all, guide me and direct me to who you want me to talk to. Thankful for this ministry that you allow us to have, this online ministry, and the people we come in contact with, those who get a chance to view it and share it, and those who get a chance to listen. Thankful for our Blog Talk Radio show, Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ, and being able to broadcast, even at this said time in Norway, people we haven't even seen get a chance to hear this message. In Canada, people who haven't even seen has a chance at this time simultaneously to hear this message. And the blessing, Father, is that no matter which way you hear it, the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but the word will stand forever. Your word will stand. So it's not my word, it's your word. And I thank you for allowing me to be a prognosticator of such. Thankful for the pulpit, wherever it stands, in the taxi. Not a physical edifice, but understanding for real that our work is with the people, not to be enclosed in like a museum or like a zoo where people have to come see us, but our job is to go out and go amongst the people. And you will draw. Just this past week, had contact with past musicians that have had a chance to listen in and have commented. A drummer of mine, a good friend of mine, Tim Jones, good to reconnect with him. We want to say a special prayer for Olene Scott for the difficulties and things that she may be dealing with. Father, we know that you know all the situations that she's dealing with, and you understand her temperance and her mentality. Send her some extra TLC. Praying for Luke Miles Jr., who asked for prayer as well, as to follow the blessing and keep him and strengthen him in the way he stands in need of. I think today they had their fifth Sunday singing, and praying that will for the young folks get to rolling again and be able to use his talents to continue to glorify God. Praying for him as a father, as Luke III, called him Trey. colored up in a very solid foundation. I ask you to continue to bless him, bless them, bless little Luke, bless the mother, his blessed family, bless Far West congregation, and all the churches of Christ wherever it stands. And as we get ready to close this prayer out, Father, we want to say a special prayer for the election. It's going to take place here in the city of Chicago, specifically for our mayor, specifically for our treasurer, and the aldermen, I believe, as well, that have runoffs. Father, we just pray that when the lots are cast and we will come out, people will come out to vote, and that you will guide the vote accordingly. It's this Tuesday. Very important to be able to use our power at the ballot and then allow you to direct the ballots in a manner that's pleasing and acceptable to thee. And that we will remember at the completion that if your candidate did not get selected, if my candidate did not get selected, that God can use anybody to still fulfill his purpose. Oh, Father, my confidence is in you, not in man. And I know that you will not let me down because you have continued to prop me up. Father, we love you. We adore you. Correct us from the wrong, build us up one week, and strengthen us where we've been torn down. As we go into this lesson today, we, Father, we pray that the words of God will continue to work on our hearts. This is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Let us collectively say amen, amen, and amen again as we prepare for the communion. Time when we are able to take up the body and blood of Christ. It's communion time. All of you far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged crown to my throne. At last I lay down, I will cling to the rugged cross and exchange it someday for a cross. We come to this portion of service where we partake of the Lord's Supper. We find in Acts 20 and 7 that it was upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. The Paul continued teaching in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, verse 23. Where it says, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto thee, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And this is unleavened bread. Then he also took the cup, and after he supped, said that this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. but let a man examine himself. And he that eateth the bread unworthily, and drinketh the cup unworthily, drinketh and eateth damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many were sick and weakly among them, and many did sleep. Father, thank you for this bread, which is your broken body. We thank you for this cup, which is your shedded blood. And we pray, we take it with clean hands and a pure heart, and we look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' fine name. Let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. You may now take up the bread and of the wine.
In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon on and sanctify me. Thank you, Jesus. So I'll cherish the old ragged cross to my throne. At last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, and it's changed someday for a cross.
Amen. Do you want your crown? Amen. I know I do. If you have a copy of God's manuscript, if you would turn to Psalm chapter 5. And again, this week I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. Although I like to mix it up and read from different versions. This is a psalm of David. And David writes to the chief musician upon Nehiloth. And David asks God for some things. He petitions God with some requests. And then we're going to see him praise God. But isn't it interesting, between petition and between praise, there's a lie. And many times, that question of why, what, who, how, when, comes into play. Rest with me to the scriptures, if you will. Psalm chapter 5, Israel's songbook, our meditation for today. The word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. The Bible says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. Who do you pray to? There are so many folks today that are caught up in idol gods. And sometimes they become so superficial that they get caught up in themselves and in their own human power, their own human abilities. And if you're living from God allowing you to tap into the gift of the source of that ability, you wouldn't have it. But yet, you leave God out and move yourself in front of Him. David says, I need you to hear me. But he uses the word Lord, Adonai, which means you are my master. You are who I take instruction from. You are who I listen to. You are who I cry out to. But I love the wording because not only does he recognize to whom he is reaching out to, the whom he knows he can receive his help from, he still asks God to consider his meditation. Three words that are so powerful. Because the word consider really is an accounting term. That means to calculate, to add and subtract, to give a sum total of, to give reference to look at the square root of, to give attention to. And then he uses a pronoun, my. See, many times we have to come to God and we have to come to God straight, recognizing that what you're going through and what you're asking for, if you want God to own up to his part of the deal, who are you willing, are you willing to own up to your part of the deal? And then he used the word meditation. A cow with two stomachs. As he grazes in the grass. Takes in grass and chews it and then puts it in the second stomach for reserve. Much like us when we read the Bible, we're subliminally taking in things as we're reading. Hopefully you're underlining, you are highlighting, you are taking notes as you go through. Racketing things that you want to take a look at. But then what happens with that cow after he's been grazing, he's just sitting out there, not eating any more grass, but he's still chewing. What happens is that he is regurgitated back up. He's vomiting back up the first time, and he's processing it again the second time before it goes through his system. That's our process of study. So we need to meditate on God's word and be concise and clear on the things that we ask God, because we need to own up to what we ask Him. God, I need you to consider my meditation, my groanings, my situation, my healings, my prayer requests. And in conjunction, based off my faith and my relationship with you, I call you my Lord. I surrender my allegiance to you. I bow down before thee. And what you have given me is holy. I create. I continue to give it the honor in which it deserves and not allow Satan to have it. Hear my voice. Hearken unto my voice, or unto the voice of my cry. That means that sometimes when I'm asking you for hurts me, I'm straining. I may be tearing up. They may be tears of joy. They may be tears of sadness. They may be tears of pain. But I'm crying inside, although I may be dry outside. Lord, I still need you to hear my petition, my meditation. Why? Because you are my king. You're who I surrender to. You're who I serve. You're my Lord. You're my master. You're who I obey. Not just by decrees. And then you're my God. You're the creator of heaven and earth. You reach out of nothing and make something. And you've changed my life inside out and taken me from nowhere to somewhere. And I learned what faith is all about. I understand what meditation and talking to you is all about. I appreciate the privilege of being able to call on your divine name. For only unto thee will I pray. I know when I pray to you, when I ask you, when we have conversation, I know it's a two-way street. It's not just me asking, but then it's me getting quiet and me listening and allowing you to talk to me through the scripture, through my experiences, through others' experiences, opening up my understanding and helping me to be a better discerner and calculator, that I will consider situations better and not just be a handicap, that you will mature me, grow me up, perfect me, so that I can take on stronger situations and deal with situations. And I thank you for that. Unto you will I pray. Then he goes on. And he starts to quantify timing. Look at verse 3. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. Come on. Come on, y'all. My voice. Even in my state of laryngitis, even when I'm hoarse, even when I strain my vocal cords, what speaks for me, I want you to see and hear in the morning. Why in the morning? Because weeping may endure for a night. He just talked about crying. But joy cometh in the morning. In the morning, I will receive my blessing from you. In the morning, grace and mercy. In the morning, will I receive new compassion. In the morning, will I get another chance. In the morning, will you help me to rise up? Well, that's why it's so important that in the morning time, we see the sun rise. That means from a state of darkness, a state of depression, a state of hopelessness, it's time for you to come out of that in the morning and direct your petitions, your prayer, your request to God. And we know God is omnipresent. But David says, I will look up. I look to the hills from which cometh my help, for my help cometh from the Lord. So when you look up, you now have a posture that's different from looking down. You can get a crick in your neck, you look down too long. Gravity starts to pull you. After a while, you'll start bending over. But when you can straighten up your spine, when you can pull your shoulders back and down, when you can raise your eyes and look up, lift your chin to heaven. There's something about the door of your head speaking of being open to God. My voice shall you hear in the morning. And in the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee, O Lord, and I will look up. Thank you for the ability to look up. Because when I was crying, I felt so I fell down. See, we don't understand that even in our petitions, in the morning, God has made it possible that we can tap into the resurrection principle and get up. You can rise and not wallow in your pity party. For thou art not a God that has pleasure in wickedness. Neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. See, God's going to bring destruction to those that are godless. God's going to detest the petitions of those who will not stand in his presence. I don't know about you, but there's no reason that I shouldn't surrender to God. I don't want to be considered foolish. I want to be wise. Because the foolish shall not stand in God's eyesight. God hates our workers of iniquity. That means that's the opposite of love. When you dwell in iniquity, that means the very intent of sin before committing sin. When your thought process is evil, and you choose that pathway versus repent and go in the godly pathway. When you don't reboot your system, but you continue to walk in the pleasure of wickedness. My God has no pleasure in your wickedness. And God will destroy those that talk proudly, boast about what they are. Sometimes he has to show them who they really are. All of us are no more than 6 ounces of dust with a bow tie clamp on. Oh, come on now. We all try to dress up 6 ounces of dust. Walk the red carpet. Spend money on our hair. Spend money on cologne. Money on our clothes, our shoes, and all that's important to look good and to be good and to function within society. But don't let it override the fact that there's a God that has given you opportunity and has given you the ability to be proud in him, not proud in self. That includes liars, murderers, deceivers, You go on and on. Evilness. Those that find pleasure in wickedness, God finds no pleasure in you. But notice what David says. Three-letter word that changes things. But as for me, what changes the whole situation? I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. You don't miss your shout. David recognizes that he has not been all that he should be, all that he could be, that he missed the mark, made some bad decisions in spite of doing things good, living a decent life, trying to be the best he can, but he recognizes that he has missed the mark. And he also recognizes that God has a multitude of mercy for those that he casts, that are his. And David says, I'm coming into that residence, into that area, into those boundaries, into the house which belongs to you, God, and the mercy which belongs to you, God. But look at the B clause. And in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. See, David's not saying I'm scared of you, God. He says I'm reverencing you, God. But he's also recognized that it's not a smart thing to box with God. So he reverences God. He gives God his props. God deserves his props, y'all. Who is God to you? He has already said he's my Lord. He's my King. He's my God. Who is God to you? He is a God that has a multitude of mercy. And I will worship toward thy holy temple. But then David gets down to the nitty-gritty. And he asks God to lead him in the right path. He asks God to declare his enemies guilty. This is all in his petition before he gets to his praise. Verse 8, lead me, O Lord, Master. Lead me in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. So not only are you my King, not only are you my God, not only are you who I pray to and I direct my petitions, not only are you the one that maintains a house in a multitude of mercies. You're who I worship to. You're my master. He says, but I asked you to lead me in thy righteousness. Not in my understanding of correctness, because I can be correct and not be right. Not be righteous. So he says, lead me in your righteousness. Why? Because of my enemies. I get distracted when I'm dealing with those enemies. They've gotten to me, and they found a way to get next to me. But God, if you lead me in your righteousness, I can deal with my enemy. Make thy way straight before my face. Let them show their guilt. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward parts is very wickedness. Their throat is an open tomb or open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. David says, destroy them. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels, their own understanding, their own system that they put up, their own built up ecclesiastic system. That's all I'm saying. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgression. See, I need you to bring the, it's my petition, God, that you will bring to their attention their situation. Let them come face to face with who they really are. Flattering tongues, open sepulchers, inward parts of wickedness. Has no faithfulness in their mouth. They don't speak kindly of you. Matter of fact, you don't even matter to them. My request is that you just destroy them, O God. Everything they built, their counsels, let them fall in the multitude of their transgressions. Why? For they have rebelled against thee. I want you to see here today, rebelling against God is not a wise situation. It's not a smart thing to do. Going against God is not the greatest level of all. It's the worst thing you could ever do. Shake a fist of rebellion in the face of God. But look what he says in verse 11. But, there's that three-letter word again. Verse 7, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. Verse number 11, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Not just have joy, but have learned how to continually have joy again. Rejoice. Not be happy. To receive, to understand there's a depth, there's something deeper than happiness. It's called blessedness. And being able to find a comfort, being able to find consolation, be able to find contentment, and be able to be able to lift up praise. Real joy in trust in thee. In spite of the company that you keep, or where you've been placed at. Why do you say that? Sometimes at our jobs, we may be the only representative of God in the circle, or in the situation, or our affair, in the entire building, maybe on the entire block. You don't know why God has you there, but God wants a representative that will stand, not a representative that will fall. Will you rejoice and put your trust in thee? That means you have to walk by faith. And you have to continue to please God and do the things that God would have for you to do. What God asks for you to do, you have to be ready and willing to go ahead and not fall accordingly. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. When the last time you just really shout for joy? Was it watching the basketball game and March Madness? Oh, I had a great time watching a good game. But guess what? My team lost. But my God still in it. Who is to team are you on? Can you find real joy to be able to shout for Jesus? Jesus owns it, yes. Because God defended you. God defended them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. God, I know in spite of my problems, in spite of my attitude sometimes, in spite of my convenient amnesia, in spite of my physical condition sometimes, in spite of my attitude, I still have to learn how to trust thee, rejoice in thee. Why? Because you defend me. And time again, I got a calendar of events. I got a little litany of things that I could just praise you for. You have been there in some difficult times. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Do you love the Lord today? Do you find refuge in the Lord today? Do you rejoice in the Lord today? Do you praise him? Can you say, hallelujah, glory to his name? Has God defended you? Maybe you were at work and your manager or your boss or whoever was in charge committed a foul, double dribbled, blamed you for something that you didn't do. When the chips fell, it was God who came through and defended you in the midst of the calamity. Or they thought they had it up ahead, they thought you had, they had your box missed, but they didn't know that God already had it worked out. And they had egg on their face. Thou preparest a table before the presence of my enemy. Let them that also love thy name be joyful in thee. And as we close with verse 12, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With what? With favor. Will thou compass him as with a shield. God, you not only defend me, you become my shield. And I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. As I go to battle, I put you on foot to block the fiery darts of Satan, the daggers that may be thrown at me, the hard hits that may come my way. I will be able to absorb them. Why? Because I have a shield that has absorbed all sin. I don't know about you. But the Bible says with favor. God has given you favor to overcome difficulty. You are more than a conqueror with Jesus. Will you consider the Lord? Whatever you're going through, whatever your hurt and pain is, whatever your loneliness may be, whatever your anger may be, whatever you're hungering and thirsting for, be thoughtful about God. It's decision time. Just wanted to open your mind today. Think about Jesus. How can I come to a God who's done so much for me? And then in Ephesians, we find that all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. So I must get in Christ in order to receive spiritual blessings. How do I get in Christ? So glad you asked that question. Comes by hearing his word, Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believing his word, Hebrews 11:6. For without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Must cause you to repent, turn to God, walk with God, turn away from yourself, turn away from Satan, turn away from the wicked ways, turn away from worldly ways, and follow the direction of God. Luke 13:3-5, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. You know what happens to perishable goods, they expire. And they're no good after their expiration date. If you expire, there'll be no reason. There'll be no ability for you to change. That's why you need to repent while blood is running warm in your veins. Cause you to confess the sweetest name that ever rolled off a mortal's tongue. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. He that confessed me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But he that denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And then be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sin. Not purred, not christened, not drip-dropped, and definitely not dry cleaned. But you must be fully immersed in water, covered up in the watery grave, so that you can rise to a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Acts 2:38, Peter says, repent, be baptized, all of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is unto you and to your children, all that are far off, even as many of the Lord our God shall call unto themselves. American Standard Version says. If you won't hear Peter, listen to Paul. Romans 6:3, know ye not that so many of us have been baptized into Christ's death. Therefore, we are what? Buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ is raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we all should walk in that newness of life. Newness of life comes after baptism. But you won't listen to Paul. You won't listen to Peter. Will you listen to Jesus? Mark 16:15-16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you've already been baptized for the remission of your sin after obeying the gospel call, good dose of repentance and confession, when you've missed the mark, we'll restore you back to the fold. Whatever your decision is, Jesus is calling on you. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Jesus is waiting on you right now. You would like to call in 619-924-0767. We'll take your confession and we'll talk to you right now. 619-924-0767. And help to direct you more perfectly in Christ Jesus. You want to type in a request, we'll make sure that we respond to that as well. But God says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly. You shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is waiting on you right now. Have a great day. Don't forget to pray. And do something for somebody that they can't repay you for. Give them Jesus Christ and him crucified. Continue to, if you didn't get a chance to share the video, we ask you to do that so others will get a chance to view it as well. But we just thank you for the opportunity of worshiping with us. You want to give, reach us on www.golgothachurchofchrist.com. Reach us on our website, or you can email us. You can reach us out on Facebook or call in. There's many ways. We have Cash App, You always have Western Union. You mail in a check. However you choose to do it. PayPal. If you want to just plant a seed. Or if you want to give a tithe offer, you can do that as well. But if this ministry is blessed, you continue to help us to continue to keep it going. We love you. Have a great time in God. God bless you. In the name.